Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 65, The Perfection and Sanctity of the Scriptures. A reading from the book of Revelation, Chapter 22, Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 stands as a flaming sword planted by God to guard the canon of the Holy Scripture from profane hands. Similar passages are found in the Old Testament Scriptures. After the giving of the law, God gave a strict command forbidding anyone to add a single word to it or take a single word from it. And when he gave his final word of prophecy in the Old Testament, the Lord placed the same prohibition upon the words of the prophets. Here, as he concludes the volume of inspiration in the most solemn manner possible, our Lord warns all men that none dare add anything to or take anything away from the holy word of God. Any who dare to do so will suffer all the terrible wrath of God forever in hell without mercy. The person speaking in this text is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He holds the volume of Holy Scripture before us, elevating it to the position of highest possible reverence. It is written in the Psalms, Psalm 138, verse 2, Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The warnings given here indicate that God regards nothing as more sacred than his word, and looks upon the contempt of his word as the highest crime and most hideous evil thing in the world. That book which God has so highly magnified is the inspired word of God. Without question, there is a particular reference in this text to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. This last book of the inspired volume is of equal value and authority with the other 65. However, because this book, by the arrangement of divine providence, closes the sacred volume, it is reasonable for us to assume that the warnings of this text extend to and include the entire Bible, from the opening word in Genesis to the final Amen in Revelation. The entire Bible is the Word of God, authoritative, complete, perfect and holy, a book to be reverenced, believed, and obeyed. The divine authority of the Scriptures? I cannot stress enough the importance of what I am about to write and to speak. It may seem trite and insignificant to some, but this is one of the most profound statements you will ever read or hear, and one of the most important. That book which we call the Holy Bible, the book you probably have open before you as you read or listen to these words, is the Word of God. It is every word inspired, infallible, and holy. It contains no errors, contradictions, or inaccurate statements. It was written by holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. A book with one message? The message of the Bible is redemption by the blood of Christ and salvation by His grace. The scarlet thread which runs through every page of the book and binds them all together is the message of blood atonement by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Word of God might be compared to the alabaster box that was brought into Simon's house in Bethany, containing ointment of spikenard, very precious. When the box was broken and the ointment poured out, the sweet fragrance filled the room. Gospel preachers are like the woman who brought the box and broke it open. They come to the house of God with the Word of God, break it open, and as they expound the Scriptures, the sweet fragrance of Christ crucified fills the house. Those who faithfully expound the Scriptures proclaim Christ crucified, for He is the theme of all the Scriptures. The Old Testament declares that the Redeemer is coming. The four Gospels and the Epistles tell us that the Redeemer has come. The book of Revelation promises that the Redeemer is coming again. The Bible alone can make us wise unto salvation. The Bible raises and answers every question regarding life and death and eternal life and eternal death. If we want to know where and how life began, we need only to read the Word of God. The facts of creation are given throughout the Scriptures, unlike the theories of speculative science and vain philosophy, are in total agreement with one another and cannot be refuted. If anyone is interested in knowing how the human race came to be in such a mess, he needs only to read the Word of God. We got into the state we are in through the sin and fall of our father Adam. We all became sinners by his sin. He was our representative before God. In him, the whole human race died spiritually. From him, we all inherit our sinful nature. All human beings are born as the children of Adam, in spiritual death with depraved hearts, and go forth from the womb speaking lies. If anyone wants to know the way out of the mess we are in, he needs only to read the Word of God. God's remedy for man's ruin is his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner's substitute, the last Adam. By his obedience to the law and will of God as their representative, Christ brought in everlasting righteousness for his people, which God the Father imputes to all who believe on him. The Lord Jesus took upon himself the sins of his people, died in their place, and by his blood took away the curse of the law and the wrath of God, having satisfied the justice of God for their sins. Sinners must be born again by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit. There's no other way of salvation and life. This great salvation is freely given to every sinner who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the faith by which we believe on Christ is a gift of God. So the whole work of salvation is by the grace of God and for the glory of God. All men know by nature there is life after death. All are conscious of that fact, but should anyone want to know what awaits him in eternity, again he needs only to read the Bible. We are all creatures with immortal souls. We shall spend eternity somewhere, either in the torments of the damned or in the bliss of the saved, either in the presence of the devil or in the presence of God, either in hell or in heaven. In the resurrection day, our bodies and souls will be reunited either to everlasting damnation or to everlasting righteousness and life with Christ. The Bible meets our every need. The Bible is able to meet every moral, spiritual, and emotional need of our lives. Everything that is needed for the temporal and eternal welfare of our souls is revealed in the Word of God. As we have already seen, the Bible tells us how spiritual life is imparted to the soul by divine regeneration through the preaching of the gospel, and preserved and carried on to perfection by divine grace. The Bible tells us how to behave in every relationship and circumstance of life. The path of life is plainly marked out for us in the Word of God. The Bible teaches us how to live in this world in patience, comfort, and hope, submitting to the will of God, trusting the providence of God, waiting for the promises of God. The authority of the Scriptures? The Bible alone is authoritative in the Church and Kingdom of God. It is our only rule of faith and practice. We have no right to believe any doctrine that is not specifically taught in the Bible, and we have no right to reject any doctrine that is taught in the Bible. We have no right to practice any form of worship that is not specifically taught in the Bible, and we have no right to reject any form of worship that is taught in the Bible. The perfection of the Scriptures, that to which nothing can be added and from which nothing can be taken away, is perfect and complete. When John wrote Amen at the end of verse 21, the Scriptures were perfect, complete, lacking nothing. It is to this perfection that Paul refers in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. As the revelation of God, the Scriptures are perfect. There are many things about God which are, for the present, hidden from us. Those secret things belong to the Lord, but everything needful and useful for our souls is revealed in this book, revealed fully and revealed perfectly. There is nothing to be known about God in this world which is not revealed in His written word. It clearly reveals and teaches the perfections of His being, the purpose of His grace, the meaning of His providence, and the fullness of His perfect will. There's nothing lacking in the Word of God, nothing to be added to it. No additional visions, prophecies, or revelations are needed, and none are to be accepted. The sanctity of the Scriptures. A very solemn warning is given by God regarding His Word. Any alteration of it, strictly forbidden, upon penalty of the most severe consequences. If any man adds to the inspired writings, God will add to that man all the plagues of eternal damnation. If any man takes away from the inspired writings, God will take away from that man all that he appears to have, all life, all grace, and all hope. The denunciation of God's wrath are never so full and comprehensive as they are in these two verses. God will not allow any man to suppress or to add a single word. This is the sanctity of the Scriptures. If we presume to suppress or leave out anything God has revealed, that would be a denial of God's wisdom. If we presume to add our words to the Word of God, that would be a claim of equality with God. We dare not modify God's law. We dare not modify God's gospel. We dare not modify God's ordinances. We must take the whole Word of God just as it is given. To alter it in any way is to court eternal damnation. This is the sanctity that God has placed upon His Word. No man is to touch it, no preacher, no church, no denomination. Our Lord demands our reverence for the Scriptures. The Bible is the Word of God. Let us reverence it as the Word of God. It is to be read prayerfully, preached faithfully, heard believingly, submitted to willingly, and obeyed implicitly.